Let us once again bow before the Lord in prayer. O gracious God, we thank Thee for such a promise of salvation freely given to us through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that as Thy word goes forth, it might have a resting place in our hearts and go deep and be rooted in us and grow and be fruitful. Lord, how we need Thee to work in every one of us, and even for those and in those who have not yet come to taste and see that Thou art gracious. Lord, work, we pray. For Thy glory's sake we ask. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you a question. Why is it that Christians believe that Jesus Christ is the only way back to God? Why is it that the Bible tells us that there's only one way? And here the Lord Jesus very clearly in verse 6 of John chapter 14 declares this, not about someone else, but about Himself. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. If you are a child of God this morning, this thrills your heart. Why? Because you've come to know Him. There are millions in this world who do not know this Savior. There are millions in this world who have not come to know this life in Christ, this way in Christ, this truth in Jesus. They have no assurance that they have access to the Father in heaven. But it is your experience. And this is the mark of a child of God, that we go to our Father through Christ. We go to that mercy seat in heaven. And the Father hears us. How many Christians could say this morning, testify and say, the Lord has answered hundreds of prayers throughout my life. I have prayed in the name of Jesus, and my Father, not someone else's Father, but my dear Father in heaven has heard me and has answered. And so it is a privilege that not everyone in this world is experiencing, but God's people. So be encouraged, dear people of God. But we live in a world that asks this question. And maybe you used to ask this question, or maybe even still there are some here today, and even children, young people, ask, well, how can I be sure that Jesus Christ is the only way? Because there are so many roads. There are so many people claim to be the way to God, or faiths that claim to be the way to God. How can I be sure about that? If you have had any kind of serious conversation with a Christian about faith and about the Bible and about the gospel, then they would speak to you about some of these things. Have you thought seriously about these things? Boys and girls, do you think seriously about your own soul, where you're heading, about your destination into eternity? Even yesterday, on M5, there was that accident. Those people did not know that that would be their final day. They would enter into eternity. We do not know how long we have. And that is why we ought to think seriously about our destination. It would be a foolish thing for us not to. For the Christian, we can say, well, there was a time I had no thought. I was just going through life day after day, not giving it any attention. And yet God arrested me. God worked in me. Through the preaching, through something I read, through a witness of a friend. They challenge me. Well, today you are being challenged. So if you're not a Christian, I want you to think seriously what Jesus Christ says to you. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There are many people in this world that they don't know. And they don't want to know. They're like an ostrich. We have many ostriches. Even though Britain is not a natural place for ostriches, to raise up ostriches. But people have an ostrich spirit. You talk to people in the open air. You speak to them, even with some who should know better. Some older person who you think, well, they've gone through a war. They've gone through various trials in their life, and yet still they have no thought. And even more sad is that they do not care. I don't want to know. I don't want to think about these things. And so they bury their heads in the sand. Don't be like that. Don't have an ostrich spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ says we can know. If we come to know Him, we will see that He is the way, the truth, and the life. So, where are you going? Where have you come from? What's the purpose of your life? These are the things that you ought to give much thought to. Now, why the Lord Jesus? Why is He the only way? What about the people who say, well, this person is Muslim, this person is Buddhist, this person is agnostic? That means they don't really, they're not sure of anything. This person believes in the New Age. That person says they're a Christian. That person says they're a Jehovah's Witness. Whatever. What about all of these people? Where are they heading? Well, let me put three or four things to you. First of all, when people say there are all these roads and they all go to God and we are living in a society like that, that believes such things, that all the roads are leading to God, and you, boys and girls, you're told this in different places, in the media, when you're watching something, maybe at school, somebody speaks to you and say, oh, but I go to church and the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the only way. Oh, don't be like that. Don't be so narrow. Now, what about these people in school, Muslims or whatever, or in you're working in a certain place and they put these things to you? So I want you to think, well, no, the roads are not the same. That's the first thing. The second thing that I want you to think about is that the true way to God must be God's way. It must be God's way. And the final thing is why Jesus Christ is the only way to God. The Lord says here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Lord is very specific. He says that He is the only one. He is the unique one. There is no other way, He's saying. But there are many who have different beliefs, different faiths. And the first thing is that these roads, the roads are not the same. These people, they don't believe in the same God. Solomon, he warns and he says to all the people in the world, and he says in his book, the Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But then he says, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I think it is quite interesting. He says, the ways of death. There are many, many different ways, he says. Many ideas in people's heads. Many beliefs. But he says, it's the ways of death. They'll all arrive at the same place. Death. Spiritual death, he's talking about. He says, in essence, to you and me, he says, be careful. Be careful which road you are on. Be careful. Watch. Seek the Lord about this matter. Go to the Scriptures and find out for yourself, am I on the right road? What does God say? It's not what you think. It's Not what I think. It's not what other people tell you. It's what God says. And the message of Christianity is not because it is something that the church has worked out and figured out. No, it is. The important thing is it's the message of God. God has given it to us. And here Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord is saying through that verse in Proverbs that there are people who are going on a road that seems right to them, and it will lead to everlasting life and happiness and heaven and God. And that is what people genuinely think. But actually, it's the end of it. That's the thing that matters. The end of it. And he says in plural, it's the ways of death. Now, one of the great features of modern civilization and Western civilization is pluralism. What is that? It means that groups and beliefs and people of major different views can coexist together. Well, that is true. Under the law of this land, all religions seem to be equal. And we can coexist. The various different religions around us, beliefs around us. And when we live in such an environment and it's bombarded at us in different ways, in very subtle ways, and we are told that we ought to respect other peoples of other faiths and beliefs, and we ought to always respect. The Christian should always be a very respectful person. But it makes it very difficult to believe there could be only one way, one truth. It makes the person who says that this way is the only right way to be very arrogant, very inflexible. And that is the belief of many millions of people, that they say, no, you can't be so dogmatic about this matter. There is not just one way, but many ways to God. Think about that. Are they all the same? No, they are not the same. They don't believe the same things. Their view of God is different. Their view about one another is different. The Muslims don't believe the same thing about the Bible that we believe. They say that we have changed the Bible. They don't believe in Jesus Christ being the Son of God. It is blasphemy to them. Those who are converted out of Islam to Christianity, they can be put to death because of that belief. You think about the Jews. Again, they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about those Buddhists or the Hindus. Again, rejecting one another, rejecting the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not all the same. The things that the Christians hold to and the Bible says to many of these people are obnoxious things. How can they be all the same? And then even within those people who say, oh, we believe the Bible, we are Christians, there are differences too. You have to be very watchful. You've seen them, haven't you? The Jehovah's Witnesses on the streets giving out their Watchtower magazines. But this very thing that the Lord Jesus Christ says is something that they hate. They say, no, you cannot go to the Father. That's heaven is now full, they would say. And for anyone taking this promise of the Lord Jesus Christ and hold on to it, for them it is obnoxious. And then what they do, and this includes all the other cults and groups, the Mormons, the the Roman Catholic Church, and so on. What they would add is that they say, well, yes, believe in Jesus. But also you must merit, you must earn up various points before God. Or you will have to suffer something. You must go to purgatory. Or God will simply not receive you. They say you have to earn your way to God. And yet Jesus Christ says, not I and your works will bring you to God. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Full stop. Nothing else added to it. And what a wonderful thing this is. Could we keep any of God's standards perfectly? Could we achieve perfection? None of us could, but Jesus Christ has kept it. And that's why he's the only Savior. The Bible tells us that through the birth, life, and death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and his ascension to the right hand of the Father, he has achieved something so great. He has paid such a price for our sins upon the cross that there is nothing else to be paid. All he has done for sinners like us, and what we must do to be saved is by believing in Jesus Christ, taking him for ours, taking him as our Savior. By grace are you saved, and not of works. Are you still trying to see and reform your life and say, until I get these things fixed in my life, I can't be a Christian. God will not accept me. My friends, that's a lie of the devil. You can never, by your own efforts, fix anything in your life. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. We need him, my friends. We need him. As a child who trusts so simply, we must go and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing else. Only him. Do all the roads lead to God? No, my friends. All these people who say that, well, there are all these different sacred books. They can't all be wrong. And they would say, well, I'm so confused about which one is the truth. My friends, let me put it like this. If I had here, behind the pulpit here, £1 million, and I said, there is somebody in this room who is the heir to this £1 million. Well, maybe not in this room, because you're honest people. But in the world, I would publicize it and advertise it and say throughout Cheltenham, there is somebody in Cheltenham who is the heir to this £1 million. Come and get it. Do you think only one person would turn up? I think we would have a queue of people coming up with various credentials why they are the true heir to it. The fact that they're all come, it doesn't mean that they're all right. There's only one who would be right. The rest would be counterfeits. And so what you find in the world, various religious systems, various beliefs, they may have some things that you think, well, that's a good thing about that. But they're all counterfeits of the truth. And always people try to mimic what is true. Always people try to mimic what, for example, the Bible says, or what the Lord Jesus Christ says about himself. They won't try and mimic each other. They mimic the true thing. Let me put it like this. Have you ever seen anyone trying to counterfeit a plastic bag, a shopping plastic bag, Sainsbury's bag, or whatever, Tesco's bag, and somebody saying, well, I'm going to counterfeit it. No, it's only cost 5p. No one's going to do that. But what about 20-pound notes? They would be counterfeited because it costs. It is worthy. It is of value. And so it is, that is what you find. So many faiths and religions and ideas. And even the atheists, they borrow from Christianity. Their moral code is borrowed from Christianity. So, my friends, that is the reason why there are so many religions. But Jesus Christ says, it's not about following a system. It's about following me. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is the claim that Jesus Christ makes of himself. I am, he says. I am. And people say, oh, how narrow this is. People say, are you saying that all of the people in the world who don't believe and don't follow Jesus Christ, are they going to hell? The Lord says there is only one way of salvation. And yet people say, oh, what an unloving God. What a thing to say about God. What an unloving God. And yet it is the loving God who gave his only begotten Son, sent him into this world to be ridiculed of men, to be punished by himself, to be crucified upon the cross, to die for us. And yet sinners have the audacity of saying, what an unloving God that is. For God so loved the world, the scripture says. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Be very careful what you think. Think seriously about the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not all the roads are the same. They're all different. The only one that you ought to be concerned about is the true road, true way. And that is the way of Christ. It is that road that will lead you to forgiveness of sins and peace with God. You see, none of the other roads, none of the other faiths will truly, honestly deal with sin. They don't have an answer to about sin. But only Jesus Christ. Now, let's move on. That second thing is that the true way to God must be God's way. Jesus Christ says, to get to the Father, to go to heaven and go to God, there's only one way that God has set for you, and that's by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. There is only one door. There's only one path, one way. And he says, it's only through me. Now let's think about this. You see, the reason for this goes beyond what the Lord Jesus Christ says to us. Why is he the only way? It is because that God must deal with our sins, and so Jesus Christ is the only solution, the only Savior. God can only forgive us sinners through a perfect payment or atonement. Either we have to pay for our sins forever and ever in hell, or someone else has to, who is perfect. And God says those words that you have often heard of the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus says, you have a great debt. How will you pay this great debt? From where will you get the payment to pay? And the payment is your life forever. And he says, but I have come. And I will pay. Why? Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's why. And it is through that, my payment, that you will have eternal life and you will have any hope and assurance of appearing in heaven before my Father. And he says, this is what I have come to do. I have come to seek sinners who would, I would then pay their payment, pay their debts. How much love there is in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. He says, I am that good shepherd who doesn't just lead, but that good shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep. So the thing that you ought to think about when you come to think about the various ways, and if Christianity is the only way, you have to deal with the matter of sin. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. The issue of sin and God's solution to it. Have you thought about this? With a cool, reasonable, and serious way. Do you understand what sin truly is? That's the thing that matters so much. If you go wrong about sin, we'll go wrong about other things. In 1 John and chapter 3 and verse 4, we read, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. So the person who is sinning is the one who breaks God's law, God's word, the Bible, God's standard. That's the person who breaks it, becomes a sinner, becomes an offender. For sin is the transgression of the law of God. Sin is to fall short. There's a certain standard, but you fall short of it. You don't meet it. You don't reach it. What God requires of us, we don't meet it. And the problem is that every person has fallen short. All of us. You boys and girls, you think about your parents, you think about others, and you think, well, they must be so holy. They must be so perfect. Well, I'm not sure if you think about your parents in that way. But you might think of certain individuals, and yet all of them fit into that category that God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none of us here who can claim anything in the sight of God. None of us. There is this rebellion in the heart against God. And to against God's will. Isn't that the way it is? So oftentimes it is that people would read something in the Bible and say, oh, it can't be like that. It can't be like this. And they want to do certain things. They would go and find out. They go to as many as they can to say, well, what about this? What if I can do that? What do you think about this? And yet the Bible says it very clearly. But we naturally don't want to. Listen to what God says. Do what God wills. And it's so deeply ingrained in us. It's part of our very nature. And that's what we see all around us in every person. All of the crimes, all of the cruelty that you see, cruelty to children and toddlers, and you see the lack of concern for needy people. And all of this, it is disregarding God from our lives. You just have to look at the law of God, the Ten Commandments. That's the summary of the law of God. And you begin to see, oh, I fall short of every one of them. I don't meet them. My friends, sin is very serious. And Christians need to take sin seriously too. That's why we need the Lord Jesus Christ daily cleansing. Like a disease, like a cancer it is in the soul. It's brought division between us and God. And that bridge cannot be bridged over, or that gap cannot be bridged over by anything that we do. We all have to give an account of ourselves for every sin. But my friends, praise God, God deals with sin. God has met the need for sin. And he's met it very severely. He must punish sin like a just judge, or he would be a fraud. And that's why Jesus says, I am the only one who bridges that gap. I am the only one. I am the only way for you to get across to my Father's heaven. I was punished instead of sinners. And it is, you must go through me, or there is no other way. In certain places, there is only one way to get to your destination. And here is the way to heaven. There is only one. There are many bypass meadows, but they won't lead to heaven. There are many ways that will try to cut a corner, but they will not lead to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks and says the sin is so much affecting us, and God takes it so seriously, and that is why my blood must be shed. He speaks even about the words that we say. Every idle word that goes out of our mouth, he says, they shall give account thereof on the day of judgment. Even the idle words, the foolish words that we speak. If we have to answer to God for every careless and thoughtless word, what about all the bad thoughts? What about all the selfish actions? So here it is that because God takes it seriously, sin seriously, Jesus Christ is the only way. That is God's solution, friends. What is God's solution? It's Jesus Christ, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I've used this illustration before, and I'm not ashamed of using it again, because I think it drives the matter home to us. The whole of mankind is drowning in this sea of life. And we cannot save ourselves. We have our hands and our legs broken, and people try to maybe speak to each other and say, well, let us encourage one another in this. Let us find a way. They can't find any way to save themselves. They're all drowning together. And there's a boat of life goes past, and there are other boats that come that are counterfeit boats, and Muhammad comes across and looks over and says, well, follow these five pillars, follow these five rules of swimming in this sea, and then you will save yourself. The person is drowning and it has no hands and feet to help him. And then others, Buddha comes and says, I was talking last week or so with a Buddhist person, or who used to be a Buddhist. And she said, oh, we were told we just have to not imagine things, or imagine that certain things don't exist. So if you're in trouble, you have to go into a certain trance, and you have to imagine the thing doesn't exist. So if you've got cancer, imagine it doesn't exist. And then they said that if you reach that point, the highest point, then the cancer will not exist in your life. And so on. Buddha will come and say, imagine the sea doesn't exist. Imagine you're not drowning. Does that help the person? No. And we could go on listing these things. Only Christ comes. And he doesn't just say things to us, but he comes and jumps into the water, jumps into the ocean. He saves us, and in the process of saving us, he's drowned himself. That's the image. God's solution is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ keeps pointing sinners not to somebody else, but to himself. He says, I am the way. Come unto me, he says. All the payments of my crimes and my sins, it was laid upon him. And all of God's wrath was poured on his son. And the payment is now paid. What a relief. The debt is paid. What a thing. What a message. Praise God for this. We can't hide ourselves from God. And Christ could not hide himself as one who was being punished for us and instead of us. Oh, my friends, don't run. Boys and girls, don't run away from the Lord. Don't hide your heart. Hide behind your parents. You know, I met an old lady. She tried to say, I tried to witness to her, and she said, you know, my uncle is a minister. I said, I'm not talking about your uncle, I'm talking about you. And she's trying to hide behind her uncle, and I said, your uncle doesn't change anything in you. But she wouldn't have it, sadly. Friends, Jesus Christ is the only way. The only way to God. He announced to doubting Thomas, I am the way, Thomas. I am the truth, Thomas. And I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In every way, you think about it. In every way, Jesus Christ is that only way to God. And the plan of God for sinner is is so different from man-made plans and dead-end and false paths of people's ideas. Because Jesus Christ is unique. There is no one else like him. He's the only Savior. And there is no other Savior like the Lord Jesus. You think about his birth. His birth. How miraculous. Was anyone else born like him? Promised from the beginning that a son would be born. A child would be born of a virgin. And what he would do in his life. His birth was miraculous. There's something very special about this. Something very unique. Satan and all the armies of men went to kill him. But he was kept. The timing of everything. The way that everything happened. The Lord Jesus Christ yet was born and lived. His words, you think about the message of Jesus Christ. It's unique. There is no other message like his message of salvation. Come unto me, he says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When he says, I am the light of the world. Has anyone spoken like this? I am the light of the world. Whosoever followeth me shall never walk in darkness, he says. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the good shepherd. So all of these statements he says of himself, what a unique message he has. What a thing. And he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Who could say such a thing? Only the Son of God. His deeds were perfect and holy. His life was pure. He healed, as we read, many sick folk and the helpless people and brought people back to life. All of these things teaching spiritual lessons of sinners who would believe in him. Then you think about his death, his suffering and death and crucifixion on the cross. That was unique. What can you say about that? And at the end, he himself laid his life down. He said, I have authority. I will lay my life down and I will take it back up again. That's unique. Who could say that? Have we control over our lives and our death? No. Can a dead person make themselves live again? No. His death was unique as a substitute for us on the cross. His sacrifice was unique. It wasn't an accidental death. It wasn't the death of a martyr. He must die instead of sinners. It was voluntary. It was willing. And God the Father dealt with our sins by punishing his own son. His burial was unique. His resurrection was unique. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He said that before his resurrection. He says, I will raise this temple up again after 3 days. All of these things are pointing us to the fact Christ is the only way. He's the unique way to God. His ascension was unique. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Here is then the answer to the questions of men. Are there all these roads? Do they all go to God? No. They all fall short of what Christ has done. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ said, and Jesus Christ, and me, whom thou hast sent. That's his message to you. He says, sinners like you must come to know me. How can you come to know him? By trusting as a child in him, taking him for yourself as my Savior. My Lord, he died for me upon the cross. I give my whole life to him, into his care, and he will care for me. And Christians here, you're sad. You've gone through all kinds of trials and troubles in your life, but can you not say, the Lord has kept me. I've been kept by the power of God. And that is why I know that there is neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom. My friends, here is Christ. He's declaring this very exclusive message. And it is an exclusive message about himself. But the praise God, it is the true message. He's faithful. And if he says to you that I will save you, come to me, I will save you, he does that. May you turn to him then. Boys and girls, all the folk, turn to him and find salvation and rest in him. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank thee that this message of salvation never becomes old. It is ever new. We thank thee that as God's people, we love to hear it again and again, how Christ saves, how he is the only way. Lord, May these things never become old to us, but always be fresh to us. And Lord, we pray that amongst us thou would save. Save our children here. Save those that we have tried to reach, and those who have received hundreds of tracts in this town. Oh God, do a work, a genuine work in sinners' hearts, we pray. And may many in this town in which we are placed come and follow the Lord Jesus too. Bless them. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.